Beautiful, thank you. You're doing all my favorite songs today. Love that heals. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
The Beatles said, all you need is?
Love.
Yep, you got the tune. So happy Valentine's Day this week to everyone. We are continuing in a series on the 12 powers. And so far, we have talked about the powers of faith and the power of strength. And today, of course, we're going to talk about love. And the Beatles may have been correct in saying that love is all you need, but that doesn't tell us that, in fact, we are conduits of the greatest power there is, that love is, in fact, what we are. Do you believe that's true? Love is what we are. So if that's true, then why do we see so much evidence of angry, hurtful, hateful, unkind behavior, violence and divisiveness, us and them mentality? It's a good question, isn't it? What's it going to take to heal that? What's it going to take? And is the time now? Do you think it is? Because I do. I think the time is now for that healing. In fact, I am convinced of it. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
Really, if it was now? And here's why I'm convinced about that. To explain that, we want to go back a little bit in history and talk about this. Something that really fascinates me is that every 500 years or so, there is a major religious change that happens. And not only that, but it's mirrored in the culture of the time. And so if we specifically look back on Christianity, this is what we find. The first major shift happened with the fall of the Roman Empire and a restructuring under Gregory I into a more organized monastic educational system. And this type of governance was patterned after the feudal system that was in place at the time. So you had the feudal lords and their fiefdoms that they were above, and this was the same kind of governance. Then 500 years later, the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox churches had a split, and the Pope became the head of the church, and this was patterned after monarchy. And then guess what happened 500 years later? Another shift. And this time it was a split of Protestant and Roman Catholicism in the Great Reformation, and this became a more democratic way of teaching spiritual principles. So then there's something else that you need to know, because this is the coolest part of all. We are on the cusp of another 500-year cycle. Did you know that? Really? Well, if you think of Christianity, you know, starting and then 500 years later, 500 years later, 500 years later, we're at 2000, the year 2000, you see? And so we're poised for another shift. And this evolutionary transformation doesn't just apply to Christianity. Judaism has its own version of these 500-year cycles. So at the risk of being overly simplistic, we might say that spirituality as well as cultural worldview continues to evolve and change. And we are now on the cusp of another 500-year cycle. And I believe that it's a time of spiritual renaissance of a sort that is coming forth, and that we're the ones to bring it. Because this time, it involves transformation, an evolutionary change to more authentic, connected spiritual experience as the spiritual practice that's emerging. And culturally, we are moving toward a more holistic, awakened, global, whole systems worldview. And here's the deal. In this new worldview, there is an increased ability to communicate with others who might have opposing views. Are you getting what I'm suggesting here? Can you see how we could really use some of that right now? And we're heading there. How do we get there? How do we get there? Well, I believe we're poised right now to make that shift. But we have to contribute to helping it emerge. You know, it just doesn't happen, snap your fingers. And what if bridging the gap, healing the divide, healing that wound that divisiveness is bringing, helping to lessen the us and them mentality, what if that is what the newest paradigm shift is all about? Can you imagine? I'm on fire with this. I don't know if you can tell. And knowing what I know about shadow projection, about spiral dynamics, which is an evolution of cultural dynamics, brain science, heart power, the power of the heart, it's become increasingly apparent to me that a new paradigm of progressive, new thought spirituality is ripe and ready to step into helping to midwife this new way of being. Isn't that awesome? Really, can you feel that? Really, can you feel it? It's really happening. I believe it's really happening. Why do I think that? Well, here's why. We have this foundational belief that there is one life living in myriads of unique ways, and that each of us has the divine encoded within us, and that we create our own personal reality through the thoughts we think and the beliefs we hold, and that the world mirrors for us what is within our individual and collective psyche. Those aren't just inconvenient truths. If we really believe these principles, if we want to live our lives this way, then it's going to take a little more than just giving them lip service. If we truly believe that we're here to make a difference, to be the change, taking action that embodies our vision, then the opportunity is ripe right now. Wouldn't you agree? It's just showing up for us. And we do all that through the power of love. See, we don't have to do it on our own. That's the good news. We have this amazing power that we use to make this happen. The social activist Dorothy Day poses this question. The greatest challenge of the day is how to bring about a revolution of the heart, a revolution that has to start within each one of us. Well, welcome to the ashram known as planet Earth. Here we are. Because I've taken this question into my heart many times, into the silence. What's mine to do? How can I help to bring peace and healing to the world? How can I do that? What's my next step? And it all begins here. It all begins within each of our hearts. And then it multiplies as we join together and create a coherent energy field, like we just did in our meditation time, of love and compassion. Because here's the thing about that. That coherent energy field is what allows change and transformation to come forth. Make no mistake about it. This work is powerful stuff. So I have a question for you that we will try to answer by the end of my talk, and it's this. How many meditators does it take to change a culture? So just keep that in your mind as we go through and explore the power of the heart today. So do you all know what a random number generator is? It's a device that, oddly enough, generates random numbers, aptly named. And it's used in the scientific realm for randomized studies. And a curious thing has been noticed about these generators, and that is that even though they're set up to be random, they tend to become patterned when focused human emotionally based attention happens on a grand scale. For instance, when Princess Diana's funeral was being televised, random number generators became patterned during that time. When 9/11 happened, same thing occurred. And it seems that when there is focused attention connected to an emotional response of the heart, it has an effect. Now, when I was in the midst of doing my dissertation for my doctoral degree, I did some research on this. My dissertation has the very catchy title of The Biologic Effects of the Interventions of Heart-Generated Coherence and Focused Intention on Distilled Water Using Plant Growth as an Objective Measure. Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? And what that means is that I was studying the effects of having people join together and create heart coherence, which is what we do every Sunday. So as the time was approaching for my research study to begin, that year for Christmas, I asked Gary to buy me a random number generator. And you know, he could have wrapped up a set of dice, but he did not. To his credit, he did not. He bought me a random number generator. I have my own. Yes, way to go, Gary. And so guess what happened when we used it? When I did the intervention of having people get into heart coherence together, unbeknownst to them, I had the random number generator working away quietly in the background. And when I checked the results, I was astounded to learn that this happened. The exact time that the group joined together and became heart-centered and created a coherent energy field, the generator became totally patterned in that time. You see the zap there? That circled area, that's what it looked like on the graph. And this is what happened. People sat down at that one point, it became patterned, and then they stood up and were finished at the other point, and it went back down again. And I was amazed at that when I saw that. There's lots and lots of amazing research about the power of group coherence. I'm sure you've heard of some of this already, but I still love to take a look at it. 23% reduction in the crime rate of Washington, D.C. when there was a two-month prayer intervention. Crime and terrorist activity reduction in the 1980s in the Middle East through group meditation, distance healing, plant growth enhanced through the power of the heart. There's tons and tons of research out there. If you want to read some great stuff, Lynn McTaggart's book, The Intention Experiment, or The Field, either of those, has lots of really interesting science in there. One thing that I found really particularly interesting is a man named William Tiller, who is a quantum scientist, and he brought a group together to do intentional, focused heart work around trying to affect the life cycle of the fruit fly. And the fruit fly, Lynn McTaggart tells us, is called the prom queen of the scientific world. The reason being that it's very easy to measure the life cycle changes if you're doing that kind of work. So he kept bringing these groups together, and they kept doing the work. And here's what they found. Two things that they weren't expecting. First of all, there was a conditioning of the lab itself where they were meeting. They could measure changes in the atmosphere of the lab. That was the first thing they noticed. The second thing was that it had a cumulative effect, that the more often this group got together, the stronger the effect, whether it was with the conditioning of the lab or with the fruit fly's life cycle. The more often it was done, the stronger the effect. Are you really getting the power of this? And he wrote a really fascinating scientific research study on it, and it's about, and it illustrates creating sacred space scientifically. That's what he's showing in this research. And I have a copy of it if anybody is into reading such things. I became quite a nerd when I was doing my work. I started a research nerd, and I never would have said that about myself before, but it just grabbed me, and I was so fascinated by it. And what exactly this all means, well, it's theory, but one thing is certain. We should not be fooled into thinking that focused, human, emotionally strong intention is wimpy. It is not. It is powerful. It is powerful. Be still and know. And I've heard meditation described as sitting still long enough to let you find you. And we're talking about the higher self here. The real, the true self comes forth. Who you've come here to be. And this is our work. This is our work, to gather in meditation, to let our true selves come forth as we create an energetic field of divine love and with intention set the stage for healing and peace. We can do that. And to this end, when I return from Canada, I'm leaving on Saturday to go visit my grandkids for a couple weeks. But when I return, I will be scheduling times for silent, focused group meditation, setting an intention for peace and healing. So stay tuned to hear more details of when those opportunities will arise, and please consider being a part of it. Bring your heart. Let's make this happen. But it's not just about sitting in silent meditation and setting an intention and then ignoring the pain in the world, right? It's not just about navel gazing. We're not just going to do that. Because here's the thing, in this interior journey, there's always our own inner work to be done. And I really hate that. But it's true. It's true. We have to do that. Because we may be conduits of divine love, but what happens if that conduit gets plugged? That can happen. Then we become spirit covered over with limitation, self-created limitation. We want to clear that out. We want to clear it out. And because when we're stuck like that, we're believing in separation, right? We're blaming someone else for being the problem, right? We're projecting our stuff, thinking that someone or something's against us. And when that happens, we feel powerless. You know? Feels like we're up against a brick wall. How can I make a difference when it's them doing it, right? So we have to do our own healing work. Otherwise, we just keep on projecting our own unhealed shadow qualities out onto the other. So whenever we're triggered by another's behavior, then we need to do the deeper work of seeing what it is mirroring for us. And then here's the thing, with self-compassion, with forgiveness, we do the healing work in here of whatever's being mirrored. We don't now turn that same judgment we've had on someone else within and make it into self-judgment. Uh-uh. No, we turn it to self-forgiveness. We find it in here and forgive. And then the outer changes for us. That's how it works. But self-forgiveness is the key. And when we do that, doing this integration work neutralizes our reactivity. This work builds our spiritual muscle. Course in Miracles says it's the privilege of the forgiven to forgive. When the forgiven is done internally like this, self-forgiveness, we look out at the world with the eyes of forgiveness. Things change for us. And then and only then can we respond in compassion and clarity instead of lashing out from a place of powerlessness and fear. Do you see? It's a whole different way of being. When we can get into that coherent state and bring peace into the equation, now there's room for change and transformation. You see? Greg Braden has a short video that illustrates the power of the heart. I'm just going to play.
When a certain number of people come together and they choose in a moment of time to create a precise emotion in their hearts, that emotion literally can intentionally influence the very fields that sustain the life on planet Earth. These fields are now implicated in everything from the immune response of humans throughout the planet, climate, weather patterns, cycles of war in peace, our ability to solve problems, our cognitive abilities. All of these, as different as they sound from one another, are all linked to our relationship to the magnetic fields of the Earth. So what makes this so beautiful is every human on the planet is linked to the field. Not every human on the planet has to be consciously aware of their relationship to benefit from what a relatively few number of people come to understand. And the bottom line is this, is that when we choose to feel feelings that create what is called coherence in our bodies. Coherence is the language, the quality of the language between our heart and our brain. Certain kinds of heart-based experiences, such as appreciation, gratitude, forgiveness, care, compassion, those are the ancient understandings that have always been taught in the truest traditions of our past. And now our own science is finding that those same traditions are now documenting this very real effect in our hearts. When we can feel those feelings in our bodies, they're mirrored in the field, and everyone benefits from the experience of relativity.
Imagine the entire New Thought movement working this way together, engaged in this healing work. Can you imagine such a thing? Using the mirror to help unearth and integrate the internal blind spots that we keep tripping over. You know, those parts within us that we have deemed unacceptable, you know. But once we do that integrating work, then taking action, step by step, taking kind and compassionate action, building bridges, finding our commonalities, working together as a human race. This isn't just a pipe dream. If there's only oneness, we can make this happen. And that is true, spiritually motivated social action. And we can get the ball rolling. Are you in? Is this work easy? No, not for the ego, it's not. You know, everything in us can resist it. I mean, I would much rather be projecting my stuff onto someone else. Really. But here's the truth. This is soul work, and we have available to us a powerhouse of universal benevolence that is ready to call forth, to lift us, to carry us through this work. We don't do it alone. We do it through the power of love. But we have to make use of the secret sauce, and that is to come from love, to focus on solution, to find commonality, to seek out what connects us rather than what divides us. You know, Jimmy Fallon had a segment on his show a couple weeks ago that I thought was great. And the reporter on the street would find two people, one on either side of the political spectrum, and bring them together, and they had to find out one thing that they had in common. And they did this with several pairs of people. And their commonalities ranged from both liking only ketchup on their hot dogs to having this exact same favorite childhood television show to being dog lovers and beyond. And when each pair discovered the one thing they had in common, whoa, there was an explosion of high fives and dancing and hugs and selfies and all kinds of stuff. It was amazing to me. They were genuinely delighted to find what they had in common. And I saw the deep wisdom in what he was doing that was disguised as a, you know, frivolous activity. Because these people were started to look at each other as fellow human beings, you see, as fellow citizens of this country rather than the enemy on the other side. And that's the work. Never underestimate the power of creating that kind of an alignment. Marshall Rosenberg, a teacher of nonviolent communication, tells the story of when he was called into mediating two really opposing groups in the Middle East to help with their reconciliation work. And when he walked in and they introduced him as an American, one man jumped up at the back of the room and said, "Murderer!" And instead of leaving or yelling back or having the man thrown out, he just looked at him and said, "Are you saying that because the American government is building weapons that are being used to kill your people?" And he said, yes. And then he calmed down and sat, and they began the reconciliation process. And later, that man invited Marshall Rosenberg for dinner. They had dinner together that night, into his home, which never would have happened if he would have had the typical reaction. And so, as soon as we target someone as the enemy, as the other, as soon as we create a characterization about them, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Who's ever done that? Yes. It's not just me, right? We create a divide when we do that, that has to be bridged before there can be healing. And it has to happen here before it happens there. Do you see? That divide is right inside our own hearts, and it has to happen. And when we do it in our own hearts, then it moves into our families, into our immediate environment, into our community, and then beyond. Do you see? Do you see how that works? But it starts here. It starts here. Because when we do that, we can let the love that we are really shine forth and make a difference. Unencumbered. You see, when I can calmly see my own inner drama that gets triggered, when I can see it, that I'm connecting to someone else, I'm making it about them, but when I start to see this as my own inner drama, when I can even disidentify with the resulting emotional noise that comes up and no longer let it draw me in, that's called awakening. It's called empowerment. That is transformation. Eckhart Tolle reminds us, you're the beginning of the transformed world. Feel the power of that. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the beginning of a transformed world. You are the beginning of a transformed world. You are. Every one of us, we're here to be the one. And I've decided that it's time for me to stop reacting in fear. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because we control our inner life by putting the power of the heart at the helm and stop letting the news out there affect our state of mind as we remember who we are. Really. And when I say news out there, I'm including the latest Facebook meme or the latest Twitter sphere outrage, all of that. Really, contemplative work helps us to do that. Connecting to the heart increases our immunity to mass reactivity, whereas fear paralyzes clear thinking because the fight or flight stress response kicks in. And then our higher thinking skills go offline. And that comes when we start believing the stressful thoughts. And when I put my energies into the opposite of what I want, I set up this self-defeating negativity that I'm just going to keep on hitting. Really. We really do that. We're amazing beings, aren't we? It's time for us to prove the principles that we espouse, don't you think? Yes. That is the spiritual renaissance that is ready to emerge. And that the old is crumbling. The new's not quite on the horizon yet. And we are in this precarious place of hospicing the old and midwifing the new and not knowing exactly what it is. Yes. But do not underestimate the power of combined heart-centered intention married with peaceful, compassionate action. So the question, how many meditators does it take to change a culture?
One.
You, one more. You. I made that up. But it all starts within as we begin to rewire our egocentric responses. The author Pam Grout wrote this, We are here at this remarkable time on planet Earth to expand the universe, not to win Academy Awards for how talented we are at suffering. And I don't know about you, but I've been vying for that award forever. And I am ready to get out of the running for it. Just withdraw the nomination. These times call for a deeper dive into our spiritual practice. It's the moment for us all to step into who we have come here to be. Own your power. Feel your strength. Let your heart be the receiving station for that divine, deeper wisdom of God. And become a vehicle for change, for a peaceful planet, for compassion, for kindness. Become a stand for those things as you let your heart guide. And that is the power of love in action. So here are a couple questions to consider this week. Actually, it's one question asked a couple different ways. What's one area of your personal life you can practice these spiritual principles, demonstrate love in action? Is there somewhere that you can shine that light? And then beyond your personal life, is there somewhere in the community that you can take action and be love in action? Welcome to the ashram. You guys rock. Yes.